Amen. God bless each and every one of you. It is so good to be here. What a privilege it is to be in this place. Hello, Brother Mark. Good to see you. I didn't see you on Sunday. Met some of the others and so many people, friends from Bethel North that we met with and have been meeting with, and everybody's been so wonderfully kind to us, and we just love the atmosphere around here. In fact, I'm really excited about that Baptist pastor. Wow. You know, these are things we pray about that are going to happen in the end time. I believe that. I really do. I believe it's going to happen not only here. I believe it's going to happen in New York. I believe it's going to happen all over this country, where ministers from other denominations are going to see that there is a truth and there is a power and there is life through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have. And that Holy Spirit in us makes a difference in the lives of those, oh God. Oh God, that others would open their eyes that they would see. Oh, in these last days, I believe God's going to do an amazing, amazing and powerful work. Amen. Just before you're seated, very quickly turn to Acts chapter 2, and I want to read a very, very familiar passage of scripture and want to speak to you for a little while tonight about something God revealed to me as I was searching for something in the Word of God, in the book of Acts. Probably to me, it was a great revelation. I know sometimes when you get a revelation and then you say it to someone else, it's like, well, I already knew that. Well, that's okay if you already know what I'm about to tell you. But it was a revelation to me, and it opened my eyes and solidified some things in my mind and heart about the way I serve God and the message that we have. Amen, amen. So Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 37 through 39. I want to thank you, Pastor Linda, for giving me the privilege to speak to your people tonight. I love this church. I love what I feel here. It's a great church. You've got a great pastor and wife. Amen. You have got an enormously great ministry here, and the ministering brethren, Brother Brian, that was an excellent message on Sunday. Absolutely great. And so many friends and I consider family also. It's just so awesome. It really is. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. You probably can all just speak it from memory. But now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. Would you put your Bibles down? Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, oh, we appreciate you tonight and thank you. Thank you for this blessed gospel that we have received, for this great apostolic message, Lord, that you have given to us. And we thank you for that tonight and pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use, oh God, this vessel tonight to minister to your people. Oh God, I pray that the words that come forth from my heart and lips and your words together would be anointed, oh Lord, and you would bless your people, oh God. Open hearts and minds to receive the message of God tonight. We give you the glory and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Have you ever wondered why Peter, when he was asked on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Have you ever wondered why he responded the way that he responded and said, you need to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, I can't say that I had thought about it too often, but I was trying to help a young lady in the church who had a wonderful gift to reach people, but she was starting to walk away from the truth. And I went into the Word of God and I said, let me go into the book of Acts. Let me look into the book of Acts and see how I can bring this young lady back to God and show her where we have the message of salvation. I always knew it. I've been serving the Lord since 1975, and I always knew the message since the day that I was born again. I always understood that this was the truth. But when I started to look into this a little bit more, all of a sudden things started to come together. And I must say that after examining the scripture, I am so convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that the message that we preach is the message of the apostolic message that Jesus Christ wants us to preach today. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to go through some scriptures with you. In fact, the name of the message tonight is the apostolic message. Amen. I want to go through some scriptures with you, and I want to go through them with you, and because this is exactly what I saw. As I was going through the book of Acts, what I did before that is I went through the Gospels, and I looked at the Great Commission that Jesus spoke in every Gospel. You know, there is a Great Commission mentioned in each of the four Gospels. I didn't think there was one in John, but there is. And I looked at these, and I happened to have them on my screen. And I don't always have it this way with this many scriptures, but I had every one of these scriptures on my screen at the same time. And I was looking at them, staring at them, reading them, and all of a sudden it was like something went, and I went, oh, that's what it's about. And I'm going to go through it with you right now, or as quickly as I possibly can. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And Jesus, and he said unto them, speaking of Jesus, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we see here right away that he that believeth, number one, you got to believe. Because if you don't believe, you can't come to God. You can't receive anything from God. And you don't even are able to realize that he's a rewarder of them that will diligently seek after him. So we have to believe. And unfortunately, many people stop right there. And they say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And it's a good thing. It's a good way to start. We should never look down on someone or condemn somebody because they don't go further than that. That's a beginning. And we need to take them forward gently, kindly, and teach them the rest of the way. But he does say, and Jesus said these words, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Very simple. He's talking about belief. He's talking about baptism. Okay, let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is another part of the Great Commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Notice this. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing, there's the word again, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So now Jesus, he said, believe and be baptized in Mark. And now he goes a little bit further as we went down into Matthew, and we know that you have to be baptized in a name. The name here says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but we know that that's not names, they're titles. But he was talking about names in a singular sense, so we have to learn a little bit more. And we do as we go a little bit further into Luke. He said unto them, Luke chapter 24, 46 through 49, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, new word, and remission of sins should be preached how? In his name. So we have belief, we have baptism and remission of sins in the name, because we know the name now is whose? Is Jesus. And the word repentance. So we're getting really close to what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, aren't we? But you know, now I looked at John and I always wondered, I said, why is John's gospel so different? Now his whole gospel is really different from the synoptic gospels. But why, I always looked at this part of his gospel and said, his Great Commission to me sometimes doesn't seem like it was a part of the Great Commission. But then when I looked at it that day, it kind of brought everything right into focus. Then Jesus said unto them, John 20, 21, 2, peace be unto you. As my Father had sent me, even so send I you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now we know they didn't receive the Holy Ghost there, because before Jesus ascended up into heaven, what did he say? Go into Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, which he would send. And he did 10 days later. So what am I trying to say? In the words of Jesus Christ that he gave to his apostles right before he left this earth, he told them that there had to be belief. He told them that there had to be repentance. He told them that there had to be baptism in his name for the remission of sins, and that they were to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when Peter spoke, was asked the question on the day of Pentecost, why, what must we do to be saved? The reason that he gave those words, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost, was because those were the exact words that Jesus Christ had given him and the apostles to preach in their day. I want you to know something. This is the apostolic message. This is not the word of mankind. It is the words of Jesus Christ that he left in the hands of his apostles, and that have been handed down from generation to generation, and is in his word today. So you and I have no problem, should have no problem with believing that this is the apostolic message that saves souls today. Amen. The book of Acts continually and consistently teaches this message of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. In fact, it is the only gospel message of the New Testament church. Now you might say, brother, you're just being a little narrow-minded. Just a little bit exclusive, don't you think? You think you're the only one that has the word. Well, you know what? It's written in the word. But let me say this. I know we live in a day of political correctness. I know that the new normal today is that we have to be inclusive of all beliefs and all religions and be tolerant of what everybody else believes. But God's word has never been inclusive. And God's word has always been narrow in scope. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said in John 8:24, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the apostle Paul in Galatians, he said, even if an angel from heaven would come down and preach another gospel unto you, let that angel be accursed. I want to tell you something. The gospel that we preach today is an exclusive gospel. It is narrow-minded. God's not politically correct, and neither should we be. We need to be biblically correct and preach this gospel everywhere we go. Oh, let's praise him tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. But as I started to look a little more through the book of Acts, I realized Acts chapter 2 is not the only place that the apostles preached this gospel. In fact, when you go to Acts chapter 3, that was the lame man being healed. Peter preached to the people after the lame man was healed. And he explained that the miracle was done through the power of Jesus Christ, who God raised from the dead. And he told him this in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He spoke these words to the people. And listen to it and compare it to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He was talking about repentance, sins being blotted out, remitted in baptism, and the refreshing, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In chapter 4, Peter begins to speak that there's no other name except the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, Peter, when brought before the Jewish council for preaching Jesus Christ, he tells them in Acts chapter 5, verses 30 through 32, he says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for, notice this, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, repentance, baptism, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Again, there's the message of Acts 2:38 in the Bible, in the Word of God, in Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5. And we find it, believe it or not, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 11, in Acts chapter 16, in Acts chapter 19, in Acts chapter 22. We find places in there, sometimes not the entire thing, but sprinkled in there, the truths of Acts 2:38 and the gospel message, just apostolic message that the apostles were preaching. Amen. One other place in the book of Acts that kind of made the hair on my neck stand up when I read this. But in Acts chapter 12, we know what happened in Acts chapter 10. There was the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles. And we know that Peter, who was a Jew, went to speak to the Gentiles. God had revealed to him that he had to do this and that he wasn't to call the Gentiles common or unclean, but God told him, go with these people. And he did, and he preached the gospel, and we know what happened. Before he ever got finished preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius' household, and then he told them they needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, when Peter went back to Joppa, he had to answer why he went to the Gentiles. Why did you go to speak to those unclean Gentiles? And here is Peter's defense. Acts 11:13-16. Peter's saying about Cornelius, speaking about Cornelius, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Notice this verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Then he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he had said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And now verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, notice this phrase, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And so in the Word of God, it shows that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you should receive the Holy Ghost just like the apostles did, just like they did at Cornelius' house. It's the apostolic message. It doesn't change. That we have this true gospel message is unbelievable, that God would have given to us. This message is true, and we don't have to wonder whether we have the truth. We know that we have the truth. We know that what we preach is right. We have received it right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. I don't believe we need to take a back seat to anybody. Amen. In fact, we are the ones who need to be out there proclaiming this gospel all over the world, everywhere we go. Amen. Why should we do this? Well, first of all, I think we've got a great responsibility since we have the truth and we know it and can see it. We need to understand that we need to minister this gospel to the world in which we live, because there are many gospels in our world today. Man has carved out for himself many different pathways to get to heaven. But truthfully, they're not pathways to heaven at all. There are, in our world today, even in our country, prosperity gospels. There are easy believism gospels. Just believe and that's all you got to do. Live your life any way you want after that. There's the postmodern gospels. There's grace gospels. That one scared the daylights out of me when I did a little studying in grace gospels, Pastor Linda. You know why? Because some people that believe in grace gospels, they actually believe that once you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, you are saved by grace. And that means you don't ever have to do anything at all to try and please God anymore. In fact, even the sins you haven't yet committed are already forgiven. And that's a damning gospel. But it's part of the gospels of the world we live in. Some believe you have to keep sacraments in order to be saved. Some believe you merit salvation through good works. Some believe there's a light called a light doctrine, which means you're saved according to the light that you have. And there are still others that say that if you just accept the Lord as your personal savior, you're going to be saved. I'm not denigrating anybody who believes these things, but I want to tell you that we have the truth and we're able and should be able to reach people in these places. Why? Because we can show them in the Word of God where Jesus said these things and the apostles carried it out on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And it is the saving message today. Yes, this gospel that Jesus gave us, this gospel is a unique gospel. We have a unique message. It is the good news that the Messiah has come into the world. Amen. It's a one way into the kingdom of God. In fact, it's the only way. This gospel is so unique that when people obey its message, it has the power to transform their lives. The gospel is the good news that people can receive the forgiveness of sins. The gospel is able to deliver from alcohol. It's able to deliver from drug addiction. It's able to deliver from sexual immorality. It's able to deliver from depression. It is able to deliver from demonic possession. Anything that is in this world that is holding people down and shackling them by the chains of the enemy, the gospel is able to break those chains and free them from whatever is in their life. Amen. I know it freed me. How about you? Who's been freed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen. And through the gospel, we have the hope of eternal life. Oh, God. Oh, we sang, come, Lord Jesus. Ooh. Yes. Wow. I tell you what, I wouldn't care if you came right now. Amen. And probably everyone in here would feel the same way. Oh, yes. Why? Because we've received the good news of the gospel. Amen. Jesus didn't establish many churches. He gave us one church with one great message, a saving message, an apostolic message that he intends us to minister and preach in the world we live in today. Amen. Until he returns to the earth to take us home. This was the gospel that was preached in the first century. And it is the same gospel that is being preached in the 21st century. Times may have changed. Cultures seem to always change. But the word of God and the gospel message should never change. We should never let our times dictate to us the message that we preach. We should never let our culture get so deep into us that it would change the way we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ. His word will not fail. Forever thy word is settled in the heavens. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This gospel message never changed, and it still has the power, the delivering power, and the saving power, just as it did in the days of the apostles. Oh, Lord, I am thankful for the gospel message. I am thankful for the way it has changed my life. And I'm sure you're thankful for what it has done in yours. Praise God, praise God. Our world is in such turmoil. There is so much uncertainty in the world that we live in today. I don't know how people live today without the Holy Ghost. I really don't. I mean, I did for 25 years. But Brother Ray, I don't know how. I really don't. I don't know how people live without God's presence in their life today. I'm getting a phone call. I guess I'll have to ignore it. Later. As the scripture records, though, in the last days, men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. People are afraid, and with reason to be afraid in the world in which we live. Ungodliness, unrighteousness is encroaching upon our world today. There is such violence and immorality everywhere, and people are just being engulfed by it. It is so bad, I don't even read newspapers anymore. I hate to even look when I turn on the computer and I go online. I can't stand to even read the Yahoo News. It just sickens me of what is going on in our world today. We are living, I believe, according to the word of God. We're living in the last days when these things are going to happen. The Bible tells us evil times are going to be upon us, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. I don't expect it to get better. I expect it to get worse because you know what? The Bible also said that in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it's going to be like the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, when God looked upon the earth, all the earth was wicked before him. There was only one person that was righteous, and that was Noah. And I believe in the end days, when nobody else is coming to God, when that last heart has turned its heart over to God, and God looks down upon a wicked world, he's going to see a church. Hallelujah. And his grace is going to be upon that church, and he's going to call his church home. Praise God, praise God. Yes, we are living in those days and in those times, but I believe this should be the finest hour for the church that we live in this world today. We are God's shining light in a dark, dark world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And we have a gospel to preach, a gospel of light that will change and transform lives. Amen. I was so happy to hear about all the daughter works that you guys are working with, all the people, those souls that you're saving, the new works that are being done here. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing because you know what? That thing, that work is work. That means somebody's got to get out there and work at it. Amen. Somebody's got to preach the gospel. Somebody's got to counsel with some soul. Somebody has got to mentor and disciple some people. And that's not easy work. We're a little bit behind in Long Island. We got a great church. Don't get me wrong. I love my church. I love my pastor. I love my bishop. They're great people, wonderful people. We've got over 3 million people just on Long Island alone. And from our church where we are to the tip of Long Island is probably about 80 miles, a little over 3 million people. Now we have a church that probably has somewhere about 800, maybe 900 people on a Sunday. And that's great. That's a big church. That's powerful. But compare that to 3 million people. And I did that one day, and you know where we are? We're at less than 1%. Now, that doesn't mean we're not doing a good job. That just means we got to do a lot better. That just means we got to get the word out. That just means we got to go through Long Island and we got to preach this gospel all over that island until God begins to open doors and until we begin to preach this gospel and people are saved through the power of the Holy Ghost because we've got the message they need to hear. Amen. And I am consistently praying for open doors on Long Island. I believe God's going to open them. Amen. I believe, I really truly believe this. And that's why I guess I was so excited tonight when Pastor Linda mentioned about this Baptist church. I believe that's going to happen. Amen. I believe God's going to put us before pastors of Baptist pastors, Methodist pastors, Lutheran pastors, Assembly of God pastors, because they're seeing and hearing and feeling the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus, tonight. Excuse me. I believe people are hungry for this. I really do. I mean, they may put up a good face and facade and make it look like they're steel, you know, like they're iron. Their hearts are made out of iron, but they're not. And when they go to bed at night, nobody knows when they put their head on their pillow what they're thinking and what they're feeling. But God knows. God knows every heart. And I believe people are hungry for what we have. And not only that, I believe that the fields are ripe for harvest. Amen. Not only in Long Island, but here. The fields are ripe. There are many today, I believe, who want to know the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. Heaven View, I'm telling you that North Carolina is ripe for harvest. Winston-Salem is ripe for harvest. The suburbs around this city are ripe for harvest. Hallelujah. People are looking for a genuine experience, a supernatural experience, because they're tired of dead religion. They're tired of the old status quo. And that's why you hear stories about churches closing their doors, because they've got congregations who are growing old. There's no youth in the church, and there's no growth from the outside. So the congregation gets older and older and dwindles until the church can't support itself anymore, and they have to close their doors. Brother Brian, I believe many are saying there's got to be more than this. There has got to be more than this. They're looking for something real. They're looking for a life-changing experience. And that's exactly what Jesus is able to give them and do for them through the gospel of Jesus Christ, this one true apostolic message. Amen. I am coming to a close, so you can go to your instruments. Jesus said this, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Many translations say make disciples of all nations. And I believe that's what we need to do. Because when you make a disciple, you enable somebody to make another disciple. When you mentor somebody with the word of God, you connect with that person. And you begin to teach. And you begin to train. And you begin to work with that soul and to mold and mend it the way God would want you to. And then you're able to draw that person in. And you know what happens? That person then goes out and they do the same thing to somebody else. It's the way churches grow. Oh, you know, that takes a lot of work. Who's willing to work in the field? There was a song years ago. It said, everybody wants to sit at my table, but who wants to work in my field? I'm thankful for each and every one of you that are working in the field, because that's what you're doing. And you're doing a fantastic work. But Pastor Linder, I believe you would agree with me, there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more work to do. And it's not time for you or I to grow weary in well-doing. Don't be complacent. Yes, you've got a couple of daughter works going. Don't be complacent and say, oh, we're done. We did our part. There's a lot more to do. And the blessings of God that are going to come upon this church because of what you're doing, I believe, and I already heard, in fact, that on Sundays, this church is packed. Amen. Amen. That's the blessings of God for the work of God that you're doing. Let's continue. You know why? Because we are going to reap a great end time harvest if we will faint not. Hallelujah. Let's continue to be diligent. Let's continue to be passionate about the word of God and the truth. Let's be consistent. Let's be intentional in our reaching for the lost world, because the apostolic church of the 21st century has the one and only true message for a suffering world. It's not a philosophical message or answer. It's not a humanistic answer, and it's certainly not a politically correct answer, but it is a biblically correct answer that will lead somebody to Jesus Christ. People today need more than reformation. What they need is spiritual transformation, and they need a life change that can come to them through the saving gospel that empowers them to live overcoming lives. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, my Lord and God. I thank you, Lord, tonight.